Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Our place in Christ in the heavenlies. And I really believe the Lord showed us very clearly that when we found peace in Him, that authority that He's given us is the next level of closeness to Him, of intimacy with Him, of fulfilling His purpose for us and for mankind before His return. Our key scriptures come out of the book of Colossians. So if you want to open your book to your Bible to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, I'm going to read the first three verses and then verses 15 through to 17, and we're going to launch off from there today when I talk about our place of authority in Him. Our place of authority in Him. Paul writes to the church and he says, if then you were raised with Christ, that should be every person in this room this morning, amen, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, hallelujah to that, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We went to the passage in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha's servants came back and he said, you know, we're surrounded by the enemy. Oh, woe is us. We are doomed. And the Bible says, and Elisha prayed. How many know that prayer works? In the most difficult of situations, prayer works. It says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. How many know that he'd already opened his eyes? It was first thing in the morning. He saw with his natural eyes disaster. He saw with a natural sense an end. He saw with the natural reasoning, thought it through and go, it's hopeless. What are we going to do? The Bible goes on and says, then the Lord opened the eyes, spiritual eyes, the supernatural eyes of that young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There's an authority that you and I have that goes beyond the natural realm. And as born-again believers, God has promised through His Word and verified it through His Son Jesus and ratified it through the Holy Spirit that you and I have heavenly authority available to us for us to use. We've already learned about the importance of the peace of God, and it's more than just having a sense of tranquility. It's more than just having a navel-gazing moment. There is a peace that comes when you understand as a believer that you have an authority from heaven itself that transcends anything in the natural. There's a confidence, friends, that comes from understanding our true heavenly citizenship and the rights and the privileges that accompany that. I think it's time the church started to operate in that authority. I believe it's time we got out of our seats on a Sunday and went into our Mondays, knowing who we are and whose we are and what authority we have over what. Amen? How do we do that? I believe it's by living, by abiding, and by dwelling in that place of staying in the presence of God and in that peace of God, and not being moved by the crisis and the demands of circumstances. How many know that as a crisis comes and it demands your attention, it demands your joy, it demands your peace, it demands your everything, because it wants to capture the everything that God's given to you and take that away from you so it can focus on what it wants. Psalm 23, if you want to come there with me quickly, you should know the psalm well. But I love verse 4 in particular, because it starts off with such a positive sense, and it talks about the reality of the day-to-day living that we have. Psalm of David himself: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's a good Sunday scripture. There's a good Monday morning scripture to declare prosperity over the week. But how many times are we caught out when situations and circumstances come and arise in the middle of us saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." This is a good day, friends. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Verse 4: "And yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," even though, friends, I'm walking through that valley, I'm still in it. I'm not going to camp there. I'm not going to park my bus there. I'm not going to get caught up in what's going on in there. I'm simply going through. How many know that when you're in that valley, it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel? There's no end to what keeps coming. Talking to Myrna in the hospital yesterday afternoon, she said, "When is all this going to stop, Pastor Lou?" I said, "From this moment forward." We stopped what we were talking about and we prayed an end to her turmoil, to her uneasiness, to the things she's going through. Because how many know things just don't come one at a time? They seem to come in multitudes. The Bible warns us in Ephesians chapter 6, where it's talking about the armor of God. When the fiery darts, plural. When the fiery darts come, plural. When you're going through that valley of the shadow of death, what does it say in the next words? "I will fear no evil." What a word. We've got to start confessing words like that to our circumstances, to our situations. Remind them, "I'm not camping here tonight. I don't plan to stay here very long. I fear no evil." Why? "Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Amen? Goes on. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's how big our God is, friend. That in the midst of that valley, when you're surrounded by the enemy, when the fiery darts are coming, God says, "Hang on a minute, let's just have some peaceful company together in this. I'm going to prepare a table for you right there in the presence of what's going on, and I'm going to show you a way out." What does the next line say? "He anoints my head with oil." Friends, you are anointed of God. You may not feel like that some days. You might feel like garbage is being piled on top of you, on top of you, on top of you, and there's no way out. But friends, that garbage is only there for a season. It's only there for a moment. And the Bible says, "And this too shall pass." What does that statement say to you? "And this too shall pass." That means there's been other things come. But it also means that other things have gone. We've got to remind ourselves that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have faith in the authority of his word. We have faith knowing that his peace rules in us like an umpire. Amen? We need to have more of a revelation of God's authority in us, more than just a head knowledge. We must have something deep, that rhema word, rather than the logos word, that must operate in us. That when we get the revelation of whose we are, I am a son of a king. Not just a king, I am the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am the apple of his eye. When I am weak, then he makes me strong. When I am down, he is the lifter of my head. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All these scriptures are there to build us up and encourage us, not just in here, but in here. That you know whose you are. You know that you know that you know. Now, where does our authority and where does our revelation start? Friends, it starts at the foot of the cross. That when Jesus hung on that cross with all authority there in him to take on all sickness, all disease, all sin, everything that was working against the Word of God, the authority was within him. But he didn't take it to the deathbed with him. He passed it on to future believers. Amen? So I want to kick off this morning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, because I really believe that long before the cross, God already had a plan of authority for his people. Amen? So let's begin right at the beginning. And it says in Genesis chapter 1, what are the first three words? In the beginning. What's the fourth word? God. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when did Satan fall then? If in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, Ezekiel tells us that God cast him to the ground. That means the ground or earth as we know it was already in existence. Am I right? Therefore, Satan's fall must have been after Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Let's look in Ezekiel right now, because when you realize that the authority's been taken away from the devil and it's been returned to you by the precious Lamb of God himself, that adds a different light to how you look at the devil and the authority he supposedly has over every one of us. Book of Ezekiel chapter 28, I want to pick up in verse 12. I'm reading from the New King James Version just so you can follow me simply. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz and the diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Till iniquity was found in you. So here's the angel of worship. He's God's creation with God himself on the mountain of God, the Bible says, surrounded not just with fancy emeralds and sapphires and gold and stuff, but the very glory of God was with him. Come with me back to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. And it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart. Now I want you to pick out the five wills of Lucifer as I read these next verses. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The five I wills of Satan's fall. This reveals so much to me when I study this out. We know from Ezekiel he was the anointed cherub. He was endued with power, authority. Now Isaiah says that he had a throne. He had a dominion of the kingdom. He had an authority that was given to him from God. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10 and see what Jesus says about his fall. So we've established that Satan had an authority, he had a position in God, he rose above himself and wanted to be God himself. Luke chapter 10, beginning here in verse 17. Remember, Jesus had sent the disciples out two by two, and it says the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he, Jesus, said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, Jesus speaking, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. That's what I like about Jesus. He didn't give you a portion of authority. He's given you all authority. Amen? Not just all authority, but over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's a promise from God through his son Jesus. It's been recorded here by Dr. Luke, and I believe it. Do you believe it? Three of us do. Hallelujah. We'll speak to the rest of you as we go along. God made a promise through his son that was preparing the authority of the believer, the man or woman of God who are found in Christ, that the same authority that God had placed into his son Jesus has also now been passed on to you and I as believers. Now Jesus wasn't making this point to the disciples at the time to say, oh, by the way, while you're away, I saw Satan falling. He's talking about a past experience. He was making a point that Satan had fallen long ago, and not to think that what they did was because of their own effort or pride, but the fact that he had given them authority. Remember, he trained them up and he sent them with specific instructions of what to do and not what to do. You see, Lucifer tried to exercise his five I wills and began an attempt to ascend into that place where he would be God himself. God saw what was coming and the opposite took place. The spiritual authority, the anointing that Lucifer had in heaven was stripped from him, and he was cast down to earth, still as a spirit, yet now with no spiritual authority. He was incarcerated, if you like, into the natural realm. It was at this point that God withdrew from the natural realm. The withdrawal of light withdrew the spiritual structure and substance of light and God's faith. The Bible says, and the earth became without form and was void. Most Bibles will say that the earth was. But the actual Hebrew word is the word haya, which means became. So the world not was without form and void. It became without form and void. So let's go to Genesis 1 and verse 2 again. Because it's important you understand what was happening at the time. So verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There's two Hebrew words here. It's the tohu and bohu, which means to lie waste, to be in chaos, to be in disorder. But Scripture tells us that the Lord did not create the world in this state. Isaiah 45 and verse 18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain," that's the word tohu in Hebrew, "who formed it to be inhabited, said, I am the Lord and there is no other." What God created was perfect. I don't know whether you and I could really understand what God's creation perfect would have been like, because you and I don't exist in a perfect world. We exist in a world that's full of sin nature and a whole lot of stuff that's warring against God. But we have another scripture in the Word too that also illustrates the same words, tohu bohu. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 to 27. I want you to follow me if you would, please. Because what we're doing this morning is we're creating a platform where God had said enough is enough. What I created was perfect. What man allowed the devil to do caused imperfection to come. But by my blood, the blood of my son Jesus, I want that perfection to return. Jeremiah chapter 4. Verses 23 to 27. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void. Tohu bohu. And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. The whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. There's been no other point in history, friends, that such a level of catastrophic effect took place. The whole earth was in disarray. The whole earth was in a bad, bad place. John G. Lake made this quote, and I love his words, I love reading his biography, and he said this: the presence of God is as destructive of evil as it is creative of good. The presence of God is as destructive of evil as it is creative of good. God's fierce, righteous anger removed himself, removed his light, which withdrew the spiritual structure and the substance of his light, and so the Bible became without form and void. Now Satan, stripped of all that he was, existed quivering as a spirit anointed with light, now in utter darkness. His fall was just God all over. Thank God, God didn't leave it there. How could God leave his creation without form and void? God is always so good. And God will always triumph. And God will not let his peace of eternity sit in darkness. We read out of Jeremiah 4, verse 27, it says, "For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end." The words in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Funny about that. In explosion, a literal explosion of power, God's own person, light surged through everything. And his word separated the light from the darkness. Can you picture it? What was dark? What was totally without light? He speaks the words, "Light be," and darkness flees, because light is always able to overcome darkness. Friends, light is a substance. Darkness is simply the lack of light, the lack of light's substance. The Lord then goes on and creates the rest of earth, and then he creates man in his own image and puts the DNA of himself as his son, and the Bible says, "In this I am well pleased." God doesn't leave it at that, does he? He commands him to use words to replenish the earth. Genesis 1 and verse 28. Follow with me. "And God blessed them." And God blessed them. So they sat down together and they just enjoyed the daytime. They sipped lattes into the early evening. They sat in the cool evening breeze and chatted with God, because there was nothing for them to do. The Bible doesn't say that, does it? It says, "And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Genesis chapter 3 now reveals to us the limitation of Satan. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Revelation reveals to us that this serpent is actually Satan himself. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, the Bible says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Revelation 20 and verse 2 goes on, he says, "He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, Satan's authority is limited by the natural. And a man created in God's image is given God's authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that Adam fell into sin. I know Adam opened up a whole mess for mankind. We'll look at that a little bit deeper next week. And look at the significance of Jesus coming in the flesh as a man, to once again have a man take that seat of authority. But I really believe this morning's message is for us to grab the original intent of God, that you and I, mankind, womankind, were created in His image, were created to have authority, to move in dominion, to speak words of creativity, words of authority, to subdue, to have dominion, all those words. I can tell you this right now. God's creativity is going to return to His body. Body of believers. It's going to be churches like us that speak with the authority of God Himself, because we know it's been rightly given to us and we rightly know how to deliver that authority that God's given us. I believe you and I, God's children, will once more walk again in that authority, because Jesus, as the Son of Man, conquered the grave and took back that authority that Adam let go. Do you believe that? You and I were made and appointed for authority. Created, made if you like, and appointed for authority. We can do the blame game all day long and keep going back to what Adam did, what Eve did. That all finished when Jesus came back from hell with the keys of life and death. Death has lost its sting. The authority of the devil over your life as a believer has lost everything it ever tried to get in on. He is a defeated enemy, and you and I need to remind you of that continually. I believe that the closing weeks of 2017 are going to be revelationary to many born-again believers. I believe that when you and I are going through that valley of the shadow of death, we are going to fear no evil, because we know that God is with us. His staff and His rod, they comfort us. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you believe that? Why don't you stand with me as we make a faith confession this morning before we finish off the service. Say this with me. I believe that this is the year, the great year, for whatever I need it to be. I believe God and His Word. I believe there is a great breaking loose of everything that I need to fulfill my destiny in God. I believe that God will cause things I have believed to suddenly manifest, and I faithfully stand in faith. I'm going back to the covenants of God. I'm going back to the worship and the praise of God, and His power to heal, His power to deliver, and His power to supply. I declare this year to be a great year. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you. Next week, we begin to unpack even more what it is to have a place of authority in Him. Every one of God's believers, every one of Jesus' disciples has a place. It's a place of authority. And when you know what that place is, when you know what your extent and your limits of your authority are, Look out, mountains. You're going to be cast into the sea. Look out, demons. God's people are coming through. Look out, sickness and disease. Look out, doubt and unbelief. Look out, pride and religious spirits. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Amen.